Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network. And today is Sunday, May 17th, 2015. Yes, I don't know what day it is because I just got done from a weekend-long training of another IPEC coach training weekend. So my brain is fried, but I got my best coaching stuff right in front of me in my mind because I've been using it all weekend. So I'm a little tired, but also really, really excited. So hello to any IPEC students and grads out there, particularly those of you who were in my class this weekend that I may not have gotten to say goodbye to as I had to rush out of the room to get over to the studio for tonight's episode of Mark My Words. So I'm Mark Shaw, and I'm broadcasting live from New York City, and I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity, and I also speak with authors of great coaching related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. And sometimes I coach listeners who call in live on the air. So tune in the first and third Sunday of every month for an exciting episode. And tonight is another live coaching hour. And the number to call in if you'd like to be coached about something that you're challenged by or stuck in your life is 646-716-9397. And that number is at the top of your screen for those of you listening online. And we already have some callers in the queue. Tonight we're going to be hearing from Karen and from Ken. So they're going to just jump right in and get started with some coaching here on Mark My Words. So first on the line, first up, we've got Karen from Richmond, Virginia. Karen, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Mark. How are you this evening?
I'm great this evening, too. Thank you for asking. So welcome to Mark My Words. What can we do for you tonight?
Oh, well, thank you for the invite. I would actually, you know me, I'm pretty positive, but mm-hmm. I'm in a challenging family situation right now, and mm-hmm. it's been going on for years and years and years and years, and it's kind of coming to a head. In dealing with my elderly mother, and you know, I'm definitely finding out that I'm in the sandwich generation, although I didn't plan on being in it, because I'm raising my own family, and now my mother has some health needs that need to be addressed. And she's been independent until this point, but she lives mm-hmm. with my brother, who is a grown person, who has substance abuse issues. And it's a very codependent relationship that's been going on. And even mm-hmm. though I've helped her in the past move away from him, he keeps moving back in and draining all of her resources. And mm-hmm. with her being sick lately, he's not even helping her. And I've gotten to the point where I've dealt with his substance abuse and their codependency for a very long time, and I'm sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mm-hmm. know how to... Go ahead.
How long has been a long time?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. My brother is 8 years older than I am. So probably since I was... Let's see, I'm 47. So probably over the last 35, almost 40 years.
Okay, that's a long time. Okay.
It's a long time. And it's just been one of those things where, you know, as a kid, you don't really know what's going on, but you just know it's bad. And then as you get older, you just kind of know and you just don't say anything. And you just get frustrated and you kind of walk away. Well, mm-hmm. it's been the elephant in the room like all my life. But I just don't know how to, deal with it like anymore. I don't know how to say things any differently. I'm very transparent. I'm very honest about my feelings. But when you're dealing with... Mm-hmm. people who are just set in their ways and their habits, it's hard to be that person who's like, I can see this. People can, am I the only one seeing what's going on here? Mm-hmm.
So, sure. Sure.
Yeah. And it's caused, it's caused it's uncomfortable. Like, I don't have a relationship with my brother. I have a middle brother too, who had substance abuse problems, but he cleaned himself up, and both of us, like, we're estranged from our brother. Like, I can't even be in the same room with him. I can't mm-hmm. talk to him. And so there's always tension. And then I feel like with my mother, there's tension because there's always, it's like I don't want to ever disrespect her. So I'm always cautious about what I'm saying. And so it's always eggshells.
Sure, sure. That's a very difficult position to be in. Always walking on eggshells all your life like that. And your frustration is so understandable. I mean, that is an awfully long time to be putting up with all of the stuff that comes along with having a family member who has a substance abuse problem. What you're describing and the feelings that you're describing make complete sense. May I ask what substance does he abuse? Or which ones, if there are multiple ones?
Yeah, I think there's multiple. I mean, I know he's just regular marijuana. That's like cigarettes to him. And I think that there's cocaine in there. There might be some pills in there. And yeah, so there's always something. It's one of those things. As soon as he gets money, it's gone. He's gone for a day or two, that type of thing. So
right.
I no longer have a strong beat on what it is. I just know that there's something.
Sure, sure. So he's living with your mom, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, and it kind of drains her resources because she's supporting him.
Exactly. Because it's always odd jobs, but never – and she's also raised his – my nephew's going to be 17 since he was born, like from the hospital. So the three of them live in the home. And so she's always taking care of him too.
Right, so she's supporting two kids, a kid and a grandkid.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow. And how old's your mom?
78.
So Karen, I'm curious, what if you what do you want most from this call tonight?
I don't think I'm a miracle worker and that I can change other people. I think what I need the most is to settle in my heart, my feelings, to be more compassionate, to be less angry, to find a way to communicate that I feel like I'm being true to myself and also respectful of others. Like take away some of that bitterness because I'm just bitter. Every time I'm there, I'm exhausted. We talk about an IPEC. I'm an IPEC grad, folks. The catabolic energy and the anabolic energy. And when I'm there, it is such a catabolic state. Like, I'm exhausted. Somebody put, like, a weighted cloak on me. And then when I get home, I'm exhausted.
Sure.
And then, and when I should say I'm there, that's Connecticut. So I have to drive up to be in a space I don't want to be, and then drive home and try to release. It's been a lot.
So let me just sort of explain for the benefit of my listeners who might not be coaches, particularly IPEC grads, that Karen's reference to catabolic and anabolic energy information for those of you listening to see how that applies in your own life as well. Basically, and these are terms that are borrowed from chemistry and physics, catabolic energy breaks down and destroys. Anabolic energy builds and heals. So when we are experiencing catabolic energy, it's like that happens when we are triggered into our stress response. So something stressful happens, there's some kind of a threat, our body needs a surge of physical energy to deal with that. A catabolic breakdown process ensues due to the cortisol and adrenaline that's pumped into the bloodstream, which breaks down the cells in the body, causing the energy in them to be available for immediate use. Anabolic energy builds and heals. So, for example, testosterone, which is associated with the building of muscle, is an anabolic hormone in the body. So what Karen was talking about is that, when we experience catabolic emotions, like the ones she mentioned, anger, frustration, those sorts of things, our body's in a catabolic state. It's breakdown. And prolonged exposure to that has all kinds of effects on our mental health, our physical health, our spiritual health, our emotional health. So Karen, you're talking about there is like you experience these catabolic emotions. And tell me a little bit more about those emotions and what they do to you.
So my first emotion is anger.
Okay.
And that causes me to kind of hold back on what I'm saying, and it causes me to act out of character. Typically, mm-hmm. you know, I tend to be somebody who I'd like to believe, I like to think that I'm pretty warm and I'm pretty engaging and I like to have conversation. But in that situation, I find myself very withdrawn, very standoffish. So then I just find myself exhausted because now I'm working against myself, you know, against my normal nature. And I feel just, you know, in genuine, I don't feel authentic at all because I can't, you know, like my brother will try to crack jokes and act like things are normal. And I'm like, this is so not normal. And I just, I have disdain almost, you know, and I really hate that because I don't want to be that way. I want to be that person who loves despite. I'm just having a hard time finding that space.
Sure, sure. So anger, I heard you say disdain. What else? What else do you feel when you're there having to face this?
Sad. I feel very sad. Mm-hmm. I feel that the household environment is depressed. I feel that my mother is depressed. I feel that my brother is depressed. My nephew, who is like the light of all of our lives, is becoming this person who's withdrawing. You know, I think he's having, it's weighing on him to be the funny one, the one that, you know, is the light of the space. And I think it's unfair to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to feel hopeless.
Yeah. Hopelessness, anger, disdain, sadness. Those are very catabolic emotions, and they make a lot of sense given what you're going through. Particularly, you know, you said you may feel inauthentic. Tell me a little bit about the inauthenticity. Help me understand that a little bit.
I tend to be, you know, like in my own household, I have a daughter and I have a husband, you know, we laugh, we joke, we talk, we hug, you know, we have normal conversation. And I feel like I can have a conversation out of thin air, like, you know, easy. When I'm there, I feel like I'm talking to a bunch of strangers. I feel like it's chit chat. I feel like I'm putting on like the Joker grin, but I don't really feel. There's no matching of emotion. So even when we do joke or do talk and try to make it light, it's more like sad sarcasm. Like everything
sure.
falls, like really like, you know, we're trying to poke fun at things that are really just being more sarcastic to lift our spirits. So I never feel like I'm having fun or if I'm enjoying myself. And it's really hurting with my mom because I feel disconnected from her. I feel really like I don't even know how to, and I feel like we can't even hug and like really hug. Like saying I love you is difficult. So I feel like imprisoned by these emotions when, you know, I would love to be like, I just love you and I just, you know, want to give you hugs and I just feel like it's just not even the space. The space not conducive to it. So I don't
sure.
feel like I'm being myself.
Gotcha.
I feel like a robot when I'm there, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Well, it sounds like you kind of shut down and you go into this space to protect yourself from, you know, from all of that. And it sounds to me as though that feels very restrictive, almost like you have to lock most of who you are in a cage for the duration of your visit.
Oh, you're so perceptive, because I always say to my husband whenever I'm going there, it's like I'm always suiting up with my armor. I'm always putting my armor on. Those are my exact words. So yeah, I do. I put in this protective coating, you know, and I always thought it was to kind of protect myself from the negative energy, but I just feel like it's not working very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious as to what part of this situation angers you the most? There's lots of different elements, there's lots of different components to it. What sort of has the biggest charge for you, Karen?
I think it's my mom. My mother's acceptance, my mother's codependence in it, my mother consistently, you know, finding herself in the same situation again and again when she knows better.
Mm. Okay, so what is it about her being in the situation? What is it about her being in the situation and knowing better that upsets you?
Because it's been years and years of hurt and disappointment over and over and over again. And it's, you know, I understand, you know, when I was younger, she would say, well, you don't have a child, so you don't understand. And now I remind her I have a child and I still don't understand, I guess. You know, I understand the love of a child, but I don't understand. It's almost like, how is it that, I guess this is probably the realest part of it. It's like, how did you allow him to be so independent? And then my other brother and I are he's so dependent and we're so independent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, how is it that that happened to her? And why did she let him, like, almost abuse her that way? When it's so obvious to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad passed away 9 years ago. My goodness, 9 years ago. So, you know, the time that he was alive, it was the same thing that was going on. But, you know, I got really angry because after my father passed, my husband and I basically moved her out of her house and moved her into a new home situation that was giving her that clean slate. Mm-hmm. And my brother worked his way in again. And I'm like, what does it take? Does it take like a 2x4? I don't get it.
Sure. So it's the frustration and the pain of seeing your mom get, you know, basically used and abused, it sounds like, and not standing up for herself.
Yes.
And not taking care of herself.
No. And knowing that they have a really... And, you know, speaking to the fact that she knows that it's a really sick relationship.
Mm-hmm. Like she so she gets it. That. She acknowledges
she
that.
She gets that.
But then
yeah,
it doesn't
she
change.
Gets that. It doesn't change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's enormously frustrating. Enormously frustrating. And, you know, and it sounds, Karen, like part of you needs to protect yourself from that when you go home too, not just from, you know, all from your brother and those catabolic experiences, but just from being in the space of seeing your mom do some of this to herself in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shutdown around that prevents you from being able to connect with her.
Yeah.
Does that how accurate that does that sound? Am I in the right ballpark or no?
Very, very much so. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to have trust that, you know. It's hard to have trust if she can't have her own best interests at heart. It's like, if she can't love herself enough, does she really have the ability to love others?
Yeah.
So I think there's a part of me that feels like, do we really have a loving relationship? What is this?
Yeah. Sure. Well, you know, and it's you. I just had a thought that flew out of my head. that now came back. It's frustrating to see somebody enable somebody's behavior like that. So, I mean, it makes so much sense that you're angry because it's so clear to you that she's enabling the behavior and sort of tacitly encouraging it by the way she's not dealing with it. Mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, who wouldn't get angry at that, right? So your anger just makes so much sense. And then, of course, you know, it sounds like you love your mom very much. So, of course, it's sad to see her in this kind of pain. And she knows she's in this kind of pain and feels kind of powerless to do something about it. And that's just got to be so painful for you.
It is.
Yeah.
Because I do love her and I want the best for her. And I just, mm-hmm. you know, and I know, I also know it's like, we just can't keep moving you around, you know, like, mm-hmm. like I can move you out of your space, but I can't, there needs to be something that shifts within her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm, you know, I'm always like, I don't know the best way to help her. And I think that's, you know, not feeling like I can really help.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Karen. If you were to know the best way to help her, what would the result of your help be in an ideal world?
That's a great question. Ideal world, she would have her living space, whether she decided to stay in Connecticut where she is now, or she decided to move to Virginia to be closer to us. But mm-hmm. ideally, I think she would prefer Connecticut because that's where she's been all her life, and my other brother has family, and she's got grandkids and everything, and friends. But to have her own space where she felt that she would not have to compromise her space, her resources, her, you know, that she just felt that she was finally free mm-hmm. of that relationship.
Yeah.
And she could sleep at night, you know, not worrying about, I think she's tried so long to protect him from himself that she could finally get to that space where she was able to be okay with, well, he's got to grow up now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I know as a coach, and you might also, is that, you know, part of dealing with these kinds of things, particularly when we're upset and agitated by the behaviors of other people, is to do what we can to begin to release our judgment of the person in question, and begin to see them as really as, you know, part of us. We're a part of them. They're a part of us. You know, we're sort of all one. So I'd like to ask you a bit of a deeper question, if I may. May I?
Okay. Of course.
How, what parts of your mom might you see in yourself at times?
Oh my gosh. don't we have a time limit?
yeah. In the next 8 minutes.
parts of my mom are that I'm independent as far as, you know, I believe that I can do things on my own. Prideful to the point of I don't like to ask for help. Mm-hmm. I think I share her intelligence. I think my mom is a very smart person, and so I think that I've gotten a lot of my intelligence from her. Just like my love for reading and my love for the written word, and I also think I'm a nurturing mother, probably to the mm-hmm. point of too much.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm starting to see in my 9-year-old. I'm like, oh, maybe I should pull back some. Mm-hmm.
What about on the side of the coin of the things that you're seeing in your mom that you wish that she would do differently? What parts of those might you see in yourself?
Not asking for help. Mm. Not asking for help. pretending when things are not going well, acting like they are.
Mm-hmm.
Probably neglecting things until they get really bad, or until they get into a space where it's like, ooh, I should have done something about that a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, what do you see in terms of what this might be bringing up in you when you observe this in your mother? What might this be bringing up in you that has more to do with you than with her?
I think it definitely is the prideful piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about that. Thinking that you can handle everything on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you don't have to ask for help. And then also the other side of it is the guilt and shame. Feeling shamed, mm-hmm. feeling ashamed of your situation or feeling guilty, knowing that you've caused something
mm-hmm.
that's hurtful to yourself and or others.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel I'm being pulled toward the first one there about the first one that you said, which is about feeling like you have to do it all yourself. I don't know why, but I'm being pulled there. And I feel like I want to ask you, how might you be doing that in this situation?
As far as in helping my mother, you mean?
Yeah. How much are you feeling like you have to do it all yourself to help your mother and not ask for help?
Oh, that's interesting you ask that, because this whole past week, I was trying to push myself to ask for more help, mm-hmm. which it was difficult for me. She's been mm-hmm, hospitalized, sure. So I was, you know, challenged with it. But I will say that, oh gosh, that's definitely huge for me. That's definitely, like, I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. And if I'm not the one who comes in and fixes it, it's all going to just not work out. Even though I have another brother, and even though my mother has good friends, and, you know, but no, I've got to be the one to come and fix it. I almost feel like she feels that way, and I don't even know if that's true, but she makes certain statements that has me believe that she does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me ask you this then. How much is it really all your responsibility to fix this?
I really don't think it's all my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do think that there is somewhat of an expectation that I will handle it more than others.
An expectation on whose part?
From my mom.
Who expects that? Your mom expects that.
My mom, and then I have some the female cousins in my family who are.
And what
you
is
know,
it?
You've got to, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What is it your mom wants from you, specifically in terms of help?
I don't know. It's this weird thing because I don't know.
Mm.
I think if I really think about it, I don't. It's like I think that there's this expectation that the daughter's supposed to take care of the elder parent. Like, you know how this old saying, like, sons leave but daughters are there forever?
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge vein in my family that believes that. And
the daughter's
there. That's the daughter's job.
And how does that belief serve you?
It's not serving me well at all. Mm. It seems to be serving everybody else, but it's exhausting me.
There you go. You know? And, you know, it's interesting because it's like you're putting in all this energy and stuff in helping, right? And yet when I ask you what is the help your mom needs, you say, you're not even sure. So what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's
I feel
just
like I'm
an interesting
figuring
disconnector. Yeah, absolutely, right? Which, of
it.
course, is normal. We spin our wheels when we don't know what it is to do, and we just do, right? So
Yes.
I'm wondering what it might take. And this might be a good place to kind of wrap and kind of, you know, leave you thinking a little bit. What would it take to get the clarity about what your mom needs and then create a plan to create it, obtain it, that doesn't solely rely on you?
As you're saying that, I'm like, you know what? It requires a conversation with her.
Great.
Yeah, heart-to-heart conversation with her, asking her how I can be most helpful to her. Like, what is it that she wants for herself? Kind of what you brought me to. Like, you know, ideal, what would be your ideal scenario? How can we help you do that?
Yes.
What can I, you know, what plan can we create that will make her feel honored and respected in the way that I know she really is seeking?
Right. Great. That sounds, how does that feel?
That feels phenomenal. You are a rock star. You know I love you.
Well,
you are so awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And you are too, Karen, because, you know, let me tell you something. This is not easy. And you're, you know, a gazillion miles away. And you're doing the best you can. And you're doing great. And it's stressing you out, but you're doing great. And it's natural. In a caregiver role, which is really what you're in here, to feel helpless at times, and to really wonder if you're even making a difference. And I can guarantee that you're making a big difference. I can guarantee that, because if you decided today that you were never going back there again, where would she be? Right? Pretty unhappy.
Right.
So obviously you're valuable to her. You're making a difference, and you're doing a great job. And it's just so normal for caregivers to ever wonder if they're doing enough. It's also important, Karen, for you to take care of yourself. We can't provide care for people if we're sick, whether that's spiritually, physically, or emotionally sick, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, to be the best and most available to your mom, I invite you to look at what boundaries do you need to set to really begin to take care of yourself. And it's interesting too. You might ask your mom what she needs, and she might give you the same answer you gave me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And what if she was a client and you asked her that and she said that, right? You know, what would you say? How would you help her figure it out? You know, and maybe even asking her, you know, close her eyes and kind of just imagine. Yeah, you know, breathe deeply and ask her, describe the situation that you would like to have. And have her think about that, you know, and that might be a starting point, and see where to go from there based on what comes up. That might be how much of that kind of resonates for you as a possibility in your conversation with her?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I don't think she's even allowed herself to dream. So
yeah.
Just helping her give herself permission to dream a little and to think of, you know, something that would be idyllic. That I think that she would really enjoy that.
Yeah, great. You know, because you said she doesn't like to ask for help. You know, she kind of has to do it all herself. And you identified that this apple didn't fall far from that tree, did it?
Yeah, very, very true. Oh,
yep. Are you there?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Right. So the apple didn't fall far from that tree, right? You're very much like her. So you know what? You can use that to your advantage to relate to her inner experience, because you can probably know what it is that's going on.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And how hard it is for her to ask for and accept help. And she may very well need permission to say what she wants. Because when someone is in a codependent relationship like that, which is basically what that is, right? They never get to look at their own needs. They never have permission. Okay. They sometimes could be afraid to.
Okay.
So to give her, you know, I invite you to look at what it would take to give her the space to tell you what she needs to tell you what she would like in an ideal world, even if she believes she can't create it, that's fine. But what would it be if she could? And I invite you to keep me posted.
Well, thank you. I will. And thank you so much. This is very, very helpful. I felt like I was walking through weeds, and now I feel there's a clearing right in front of me, and that feels phenomenal.
Ah, great, great. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. So thank you, Karen. I look forward to hearing the updates and staying in touch, and it was great to talk to you tonight.
Great to talk to you, too. Thank you so much, Mark, and I will keep you updated.
Certainly. Okay, Karen, thanks for calling. Good night.
All right. You good night.
All right. So, good stuff. You know, that could be so difficult, dealing with family members and feeling like, you know, this heavy responsibility to be there for your family, even in these dark situations and times, and being burdened by that. And this is enormously difficult stuff. So the number to call if you'd like to talk to us live here on Mark My Words is 646-716-9397. We're just going to take a very short break right now while I announce some great stuff that's available to you as a Mark My Words listener from our sponsor, Audible.com. So Mark My Words is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, which is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They've got more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're listening to me on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which was announced at the beginning of the show, and again is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. You get a free audiobook and a 1 month free trial of the service. Again, that's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And in fact, you can go on and search by title, search by topic, and I'm sure there's some great books that relate to the topic we just spoke about. And often I try to find one before the show. Did not have time, so I apologize. I was not able to do that for you guys tonight, but certainly feel free to go on the site and see what you can find. So again, the number to call in is 646-716-9397. And we have our second caller on the line. And this is Ken calling in from Albany, New York. Ken, thank you for calling Mark My Words tonight. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Certainly, certainly. Good to hear you. So what can I help you with tonight? Something related to work-life balance, apparently.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I have so much stuff going on in my life right now, and it's difficult for me to organize my time and prioritize it. Let me give you some background on where I'm at and why it's so difficult for me sometimes.
Sure.
I'm still serving in the Army. I work for an Army Reserve unit. I'm full-time. But I work about 12 hours a day, and I have an hour commute back and forth to work. So that's 14 hours that I'm away from home doing the stuff that I want to do instead of the stuff I have to do for the service. So that my time is limited. Since I get up at 4:30 in the morning, I kind of have to be in order to get fully rested. I have to be in bed by at least 10 o'clock. So,
so we got 20 minutes to solve this for you, huh?
I know, 'cause it's going to be my bedtime, and then I turn into a pumpkin.
Oh my goodness! 4:30 in the morning, you're up. I does the world exist at 4:30 in the morning? Do people actually awaken at that hour?
No, because I have to get up that early because I'm throwing my exercise routine. I have to keep physically fit, so I figure I can't do it in the afternoon because that always gets interrupted. But so the morning is the best time for me to do that with a lot of interruption. So yeah, when I'm running out on the street, there is nobody there but me and the birds.
Wow. Well, I admire your I certainly admire your commitment and your dedication to staying fit and taking care of yourself. That's great. I didn't mean to throw you off your train of thought there. Sorry. So go ahead. So you're up at 4:30. You're in bed at 10.
Yeah, up at 4:30, in bed at 10. The only time that I really have where I can do anything is between 11 and 10. So, but then, you know, after working all day and sitting in front of the computer and doing all that stuff, the last thing I want to do when I get home is sit in front of the computer and do some more stuff. And most of the stuff that I want to do at home is in front of the computer, you know, writing speeches and putting together my own radio show. So I'll be able to, I'm following you. Hope you don't mind that.
Great.
I figured you were a good person.
Not
to model,
at all.
So.
You're fun to lead.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, all that stuff and then doing some more study and research into the mind and how I can help people better, specifically soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder and help them get over that. So continuing my research and developing programs to help them. Plus, you know, working with a mastermind group that I'm a part of to try to get coaching out to military personnel. There's just so much going on, and so when I get home from work, really all I want to do is just sit on the couch and watch TV. I really don't feel motivated or energized to do any work that I really want to do or feel I need to do, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a, I'm like, I'm just so wiped out when I get home.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. But, so you're up at 4, you work out, what time do you go into work?
I leave my house around 6:30.
Okay. And you come home when?
In the morning. I'm usually home around 7 or, around 7 o'clock is usually when I'm coming in.
Yeah, so it's a long day.
Yeah.
So you're tired from work, and then you're first, you know, eating dinner.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So really, by the time you're, yeah, right, right. And then by the time, wow, so it's really, there's not a lot of time in the day. No wonder why you're tired and would rather sit on the couch and watch TV.
I know. Wish there was, I wish I had a driver so they could drive me back and forth to work and I could just sit in the back of the car and do work while I'm driving. You know,
what, how long is your commute?
It's an hour. It's an hour door to door.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Grab 120 miles a day.
My goodness. Wow. So hats off to you. that's really amazing.
All to keep the United States safe.
That's right, which I've said this to you numerous times in the past. I'll say it to you again. Thank you for that.
No, I appreciate it. No problem, buddy.
So thank you for your service. So I'm curious, actually, what alternatives to driving to work exist? Is there a public transportation alternative, for example? Give me the lay of the land there.
Yeah, no, there isn't anything. It's rural country between me and work. So I'm actually traveling west of Albany, and that's country. That's like hillbilly folk, almost. But yeah, there's no public transportation from here to Utica. There is a train, but it doesn't go the hours that I need it. I wish there was, but there's just not. And I don't have anybody that I could carpool with and if I did, they would probably, you know, occupy my attention with chatting and chit chat anyway. So, or griping about work. Hey, it would be a good coaching time for me. But you know, I could do some. You know, during my commute, there's stuff that I can do on the phone, but most of the stuff I need to do and want to do has to be sitting in front of the computer and writing it. I don't know, buddy. You still there? Hey, Mark? Hello? Well, I'll just continue. Mark is trying to dial back in. I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but sometimes stuff like this happens when you're working with modern technology. Sometimes things like that do happen. Anyway, Mark is the host of the show. He's supposed to be coaching. He's going to be and is coaching me. He's one of the finest coaches on the planet as far as I'm concerned. And what we're trying to work through is help me get some work-life balance. I have a lot of stuff that I want to do, and sometimes it's difficult with the limited time that I have available to me to prioritize my time and actually do it once I set that schedule. So, all right. Mark will be dialing back in. He's trying to do that right now.
Okay. Ken, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Mark.
Great. Wow. Apparently the problem was at the caller end. So I had to dial out and back in. All right. Sorry about that. I'm glad we were able to text each other. So the wonders of live radio.
Exactly.
I'm out there listening to us.
It's nice. My daughter was listening in, so she was able to cue me in on what she could hear. So
good. Great. And then there was another caller that called in the middle from a 517 area code. I don't know who that was, and maybe they were trying to help, or that was just random and not related. But whoever that was, I'm glad you called in. Feel free to call in again, and I could pick up your call at the end of the show. All right. Well, welcome back. Thanks for hanging in there, and thanks for telling listeners what was going on since they didn't hear me. I thought they couldn't hear you but could hear me until you texted. So cool. Not all right.
Stuff
happens.
As much as I could.
Yeah, good. Telling jokes and having a good time.
Exactly. I spend a lot of time by myself driving in the car, so I have to have a conversation with somebody. So I just pick one of my personalities and start having a conversation with that one.
Perfect. So, all right. So you can hear me loud and clear now.
Yeah, I can now. Yeah, it kind of breaks in and out.
It does, huh? Okay, yeah. When I didn't hear you laugh at the last thing I said, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I said, either I'm not funny or it happened again. And actually, I'd rather it be that I'm not funny.
It happened again. So tell a joke again. Come on.
Right? There we go. I don't even remember what I said. I'm just so thrown by this. So,
yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm used to weird things happening in live training rooms, and I can handle that. I've mastered that for a gazillion years. This is a little new for me. I'm in front of millions of listeners. My goodness.
Exactly. But hey, they're enjoying the show too.
I hope so. I hope they're still on. So I'll just have to edit the recording a little bit. And if there's any dead air, I'll edit that out. But I think I'll leave all this fun stuff in.
yeah, that'll be great. That'll be awesome.
So great. So, well, we're out of time. It was nice coaching you, Ken.
Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it. We made a lot of headway.
Yes, great. I'm so glad I was able to help you.
Thank you very much. I'll call in next week.
Great. So, it's already taken 3 months to get to get this to happen anyway. We've been getting you on the calendar and off the calendar and back on again. So, you know. But anyway, so even though it's a little past your bedtime, we could stay out a little bit longer and get through what we were going to get through here with you. So
we can try to do something to fill in that dead air.
Great. I'd rather be more helpful to you now rather than wait another 2 or 3 weeks. So So I had asked you if there were any alternative transportation means available. You said there weren't. And then what was I going to ask you after that? So how much I'm curious, how much do your commuting costs add up to in a week when you figure in gas, and then even the indirect things like the cost of your time and wear and tear on the car, et cetera. Have you thought about that?
Yeah. It's about, in fuel alone, it's close to $400. Yeah. And then, yeah, wear and tear, yeah, just I just had to buy new tires for the car, and that was $1,400.
Gee, wow.
Maybe it'd be cheaper for me to get an apartment or something. But the commute isn't bad. It's just the time that it is taking from me.
Well, that's where I'm at. Yeah, it's like, you know, if there was a way that you could effectively use that time. And, you know, I mean, I know you kind of joked about it before, but, you know, let's look at that as a possible option right now.
Yeah.
What if there was somebody that you could actually pay to do that? How much would that cost a month?
Yeah, I don't know. If they were going the same direction and needed a ride, I could even drive, you know, get a different vehicle just specifically for the commute, and maybe the agreement would be that, you know, they, I don't know, they could carpool me just so that they drive all the time so I can sit in the back and work or do coaching calls or whatever. Yeah.
So, or even, you know, even alternate and share the driving, you know, 1 week on, 1 week off, you know, and then you drive them, they drive you, you know. So as you think about that as a possible term, I have no idea because I, you know, not being in your life, I couldn't tell. As you start to think that through and entertain that, how possible does that feel for you?
Not very, and here's why. In my job, while I'm at work, my hours can be really long because we have commanders that like to say, all right, there's this presentation and information that I need, and nobody's going home until I get it done. So we could be there till 11 o'clock at night sometimes.
Gotcha. So your end time isn't the same each night, and it can spontaneously change. So somebody's relying on you that can't. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All
exactly.
Right.
So that was a possibility.
Yeah. So let me ask you, there's something that you said earlier, actually, that on a higher level, I feel like I want to get to. You said something about that there's no time to do all the things that you want to do. How did you word it? You said that you want to do or that you need to do. So what I heard there was some distinction between things that you want to do and things that you feel more are that you have to do. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, when I phrased it that way, yeah, I have these goals that one of my goals this summer is to do a workshop. And there's certain things that need to be accomplished before that can be done. For instance, the outline of the workshop, what's going to be presented, who am I going to need to be there, where is it going to be, you know, all of those things. But first and foremost, really the outline of the workshop, and I need to / have to write that down because I want to present that information. I want to provide that information to people. So
Okay, gotcha. I was thinking in a different realm and I was checking in on, but I'm not, it's not what I'm hearing. What I was looking for in there was are you doing things, are the things that you're not doing, are they things that you don't really want to do and that you have to do instead? But that's what I thought I
Yeah,
was
no,
hearing.
they're high priority. Yeah, they're high priority things. They're really things that I want to do to accomplish my goal. I
Gotcha.
want to accomplish the goal, and in order for me to do that, I have to take the steps towards it. And maybe one of the things that I'm thinking of that's keeping me from moving forward is that I may be limiting it by thinking that it's too much. That it might be too much for me to tackle. So instead of taking little steps or eating the Big Mac with little bites, trying to eat the whole thing all at the same time, maybe I'm just maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just trying to take too many big steps, do too much too fast, and
Okay,
not
well,
being
you.
realistic about the time that I have available.
So you said before, though, it was also about an energy thing that when you get home, you don't really feel like doing much. So I'm curious, if it were smaller chunks, how might that affect the energy that you have to do those smaller chunks when you came home?
It would feel more doable.
Okay.
Yeah, because when I come home, I'm like, oh, man, this course that I'm taking, it's going to take me like 2 hours to do. I'm going to have to read, and oh, God, let's just not do it. But if I said, okay, I'll just take 20 or 30 minutes, and that's it. Just limit myself to 20 or 30 minutes to working on the projects. Or reading or studying or whatever, however I schedule that. That might feel less of a burden and more of a, oh, yeah, that's doable. That'll be easy. I can do anything for 20 minutes.
So it's feeling like you may have landed on something here, Ken, with the notion that you're trying to bite off more than you could chew. If it seems too big and insurmountable, then we do none of it. Because it seems like, well, what's the point? I'll never be able to, right? It's that old myth. I mean, when I coach, when I coach managers, executives, and whatnot, they all fall into that same trap too. A lot of the things that don't get done because they feel like, well, I need a 3-hour window to be able to sit and bang this all out. Well, you will never have a 3-hour window in the middle of your day when you're, a higher level manager or executive, right? It's just like not going to happen.
No, I don't have that at night when I'm
And you don't
sleepy.
have, exactly, you don't have that either, So, it's so that's crazy. So it often is about, breaking it down into smaller tasks, whether that's by the amount of work that gets done or by just the time that you spend on it, regardless of how much gets done in that time. So I'm curious, Ken, if you were to spend, say, let's go with the lower end of that. Let's go with 20 minutes. If you were to spend 20 minutes, say, on your workshop, just 3 nights this coming week, at the end of the week, how satisfied would you be with how much progress you made on your workshop? One being on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being completely disempowered and feeling like you've made no progress, and 10 being like, oh my God, this is amazing. This can be
So there's
done.
no negatives or bonus. No, I'm just
Uh,
kidding.
no, no, no
No, yeah,
negatives.
it would actually just taking that first step forward and knowing that at the end it was a step, yeah, that would be like a 10. Yeah, just
Wow.
because I've been afraid to move forward because it just seemed too big and too surmountable. So I said, nah, not even gonna try. But if I just took that step, kind of like, right now I'm standing at the doorway of the airplane getting ready to jump out and skydive, but I'm afraid because it's too big or I'm gonna fall. But as soon as I take that step, then you're doing nothing but flying. You're flying with the Eagles.
Yep.
So, yeah, just knowing at the end of the week, knowing that I took a step, yeah, that would be a very, very, very big gain. That'd be 10.
Mm. And that would be 60 minutes worth of steps.
It would. It would. Yep.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, how much of a difference if you were able to – you even said, if I could sit in the back of the car on my way to my commute, on my way to work, that would be 1 hour, that would make a difference. Well, here you've got an hour at the end of a week instead of nothing at the end of a week if you do 20 minutes 3 days. And that's just if you do 3 days. The other thing too is once you shift your energy around that and you feel that momentum, you might do more than 3 days and you might do more than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And when you start seeing results, what difference would that make for you?
Oh my goodness, it'd be incredible.
Yeah,
because it would be a movement forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with those wins at the end of each week, you know, just knowing that I had something done. Yeah, I can see lights coming on all over the place. That would be fantastic.
Great, yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, we tackled that one pretty quickly, didn't we?
You're an awesome coach.
No, you're the awesome one. You're the one that's doing it.
While you were off, I was giving you all these kudos too. So I'll expect a check later.
Oh, cool. All well, truth, thank you.
All truth. You are the greatest coach in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Oh.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you in advance as well for when I listen to the recording of the broadcast. But really, thank you. I appreciate the accolades. I really feel like it's an honor to be able to do to be able to do what I do and serve people the way I do. And thank you for the opportunity, Ken. But I'm not done with you yet, so I have another question for you.
Good. All
and
right.
That is, okay. What are you going to do this week with regard to this as a first step?
I am going to – there's a course that I'm taking. I'm going to finish or do the next module that I have to do. I'm going to do that and complete it. This week usually
Great.
Takes me an hour and a half to do that when I'm just doing it straight through. So doing the 20 minutes each time, I think I can get that done this week. In fact, I know I can get that done this week.
Great. So you're going to complete your next module for your course this week.
Yep.
Brilliant. And how would you like to hit me up on Facebook or in an email and let me know that you completed that?
I will. I'll do both. I'll text Facebook and tweet.
And tweet. Just every way you possibly can.
Exactly.
Just not when you wake up.
Right. Are you sure? I mean, it's 4 o'clock. Yeah. If you haven't seen the sunrise over New York at 4 o'clock in the morning, you haven't seen nothing. Got to try it one day.
When I was in Hawaii, I got to see it rise and set over water in the same day. That was enough for me. That was beautiful enough.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
But, cool. Good. So we'll build in some accountability there.
Okay.
So.
I will.
Great. Well, good work, Ken.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. Man, this is awesome. Thank you for helping me see what I needed to do in order to at least start taking the steps forward and to accomplish these things that I want to do. So, awesome.
You're very, very welcome. You're very welcome. So thanks for your time tonight. Thanks for for helping me through those technical difficulties and sort of being the interim host for those few minutes.
No worries.
And thank your daughter for her input in helping us realize that at least you could be heard and that it was me that couldn't. So
right, yeah.
So that's good. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your progress.
Yeah, you bet, Mark. Yeah, I'll give you a little text message or a post on Facebook that when I finish that evening,
wonderful.
What I was going to do that evening, so you can keep me on track.
Excellent. Great. And also tell me how you're feeling at that moment as well about having accomplished that, because I want to tap into that. So
okay.
Great. All right, Ken. Well, thank you again, and have a great night.
You bet. You too, Mark. Thank you so very much, too, brother.
You're welcome, and thanks for being on the show tonight. So, great. You know, so sometimes a challenge is inner work, as it was with Karen, and then sometimes it's more of a simple outer work kind of thing, as it was with Ken. So we actually got to sample both of those things this evening. So great. So before we close for the night here on Mark My Words, I invite you to join me for my next show, which is on June 7th. And if you'd like to be able to get a reminder of that, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/lifecoachradionetwork and scroll through the upcoming episodes until you find the next episode of Mark My Words and click the blue reminder button so you won't miss it. Also, I'd like to invite you all to a training that I will be leading live via teleseminar. So if you're a coach yourself, you will not want to miss this. I'm going to be teaching the next certification training for the Core Values Index, or CVI assessment. This is an amazing coaching assessment that will help you and your clients be able to identify the innate and unchanging core drivers that drive their decision-making and ways of relating to others in all of their relationships. The CVI debrief alone is a powerful session that will engage your client in their personal or professional development in ways that they and possibly even you never thought possible. This breakthrough training is going to take place in two segments of 3 hours each on August 26th and September 9th. And again, that's via a live teleseminar. So you can learn more about it at markshallcoaching.com. That's MarkShall coaching.com. So just click on the For Coaches Only tab and then click on the CVI Certified Practitioner Training description for more details and pricing. So that about wraps it up for tonight, as I invite you to mark your words if you'd like. If you have feedback about the show, you can go to markmywordsradio.com and scroll down to the bottom and click on the feedback link. If you'd like to follow the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, then just visit us on the Blog Talk Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com/lifecoachradionetwork. And then click the follow button and then visit our website at lifecoachradionetworks.com as well for some more information. And let's see. And I did the wrong music there. Here we go again. So I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. We're full of technical difficulties here this evening. You can listen to Mark My Words live on the first and third Sundays of every month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as listen to any previous shows from my archives at markmywordsradio.com and on iTunes by searching Mark My Words. Look forward to speaking with you all again on June 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.